this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to Rhythmic Host. Ken Brown will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us. The email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, and at player.fm. You can also listen to the station using our Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can use any phone using our 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing 605-562-4209. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates, NW AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee. Talk Radio AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Kaufman County Talk Radio AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas. And WDFP Digital Radio, Atlanta, Georgia. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia himself, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you today, sir?
I'm all right. Finally, a little technical problems, but...
Yes, we did. We had some technical problems, and we had to resort. We're now using, if the sound sounds a little funny, it's because Ken's on his iPad because his notebook went squirrely on us, and so we're not really sure what's wrong with it. We worked on it for about an hour, and we just gave up. Hopefully, we'll have it working next week. So let's get started. Oh, by the way, I want to mention two things before we start. If you're following us, Red State Talk Radio, on YouTube, we just put out a new YouTube video showcasing the 2015 lineup of shows that we have. So you might want to check that. If you you can look us up, Red State Talk Radio, on YouTube. Also, you can look me up on Twitter and Facebook, and I posted there with a link to the video. Secondly, we're doing a commercial. I don't know if you know this or not, Ken, but on the station, we're actually running a commercial about the TalkStream Live phone connection that you can use. And I actually had a listener tell me how wonderful it was because she has a smartphone. But she said she had to do a lot of running around the other day, and she was at the store and doing whatever, and she had her phone with her and had earbuds on her phone, and she was just using this TalkStream Live phone number, and she was able to listen to our station. But of course, because she doesn't have to have internet, and it's just a regular phone call, so she was able to listen to what she her favorite shows while she's running around doing things and stuff like that, and doesn't have anything to do with the data plan because you're not using your internet. So it's actually pretty neat. She was real impressed. So
that's cool.
Works out good. Let's get going. First story is a story we picked up off AP News. The governors had their meeting this past week. And trust me, we're going to get to Obama, Keystone Pipeline veto. We're going to get to the FCC, all that stuff. Trust me, we're going to do that. We're just going to kind of do this in an order based on what happened throughout the week. The governors had their annual meeting to where they get together and talk about various issues and things they can do together, work together, all sort of stuff. And it was one thing that was readily apparent, and that is the governors have figured out that if the health care subsidies fail in the Supreme Court, they're screwed. And they said there is actually no clear plan if the Supreme Court takes away those subsidies. And we've talked about this before, but, I mean, you talk about a huge mess. And there's already been a study that's done that more than 50% of the people who have Obama subsidies, if the Supreme Court does what we think it's going to do, they're going to lose their subsidies. And the Democrats they're panicking because they're the ones that passed this crap. And they're trying to figure out a way that they can somehow just forgive the debt they owe the nation because they got subsidies they shouldn't have gotten in the first place. All kinds of proposals. Some of them just say, oh, just forget it. Just let them keep it, blah, blah, blah. And matter of fact, the IRS, they got all kinds of troubles, the IRS, by the way. But one thing the IRS has done, you know this thing about the illegal aliens and amnesty, and they're going to be able to try and get these tax credits, even though they may not even – here's the thing. The IRS says that even though they may not even file taxes the last 3 years, they will be able to go back and get their tax credits they would have had due if they had filed. Now, isn't that – what? I'm not kidding you. I read this. This actually came from the IRS commissioner. Now, let's say you're in the country. Now, I know it's getting kind of Obamacare, but it kind of ties in because these people are so bad. Let's say you're an illegal alien and you've been here for several years and you didn't claim your child tax credit because you didn't file taxes at all. What they're saying is that now when you get this legal status by the Obama administration, what they're saying is you can go back for 3 years. And by the way, if you're an illegal alien with a family of three or four, whatever it is, that could add up to over $30,000 worth of money coming back to you in the form of you and I paying taxes would pay to these people who shouldn't have been here in the first place, never filed in the first place, but now going to get credit for the children they've had. And of course, the children might be legal if they were born in this country, but that doesn't matter. They could have all been born somewhere else, snuck across the border, and they're going to get to claim a tax credit. I mean, it's just
where's this money going to come from?
Well, us? I mean, the way they do budgets nowadays, it doesn't really matter. They just print more money, or they just loan more money, or just whatever. I mean, it's just it is so ridiculous now. And so what goes back to this whole thing about the IRS and the Obamacare thing is they'll probably come up with a system. If they're going to do this with the illegal aliens, you don't think they're going to have a bit of problem of just forgiving whatever they all the money they've been fronted by the IRS or by the American taxpayer, really, to pay for their Obamacare, even though they don't even qualify if the Supreme Court rules against them. I mean, it's just the absurd logic is beyond belief.
Well, it started off that way, Primo. I mean, even that Gruber guy said that 12, what was it? How many pages that thing is? 2,700 pages or whatever. I mean, he said they made it that way to be almost undecipherable. And so I think they can change rules and do things like you're talking about, which to me, it's just the common sense is not even there. Government. Government drives me nuts. They get bigger. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and they just all they do is drain us.
I know. They always got their hand out for something else. And I, you know, again, I wouldn't have as big of a problem if it actually was something that was made some sense. But this stuff doesn't make sense. It's like this. You know that we're going to talk about this again some more probably, but the illegal immigration thing. You know, there's been now, by the way, there's been two federal judges that have ruled against Obama on his amnesty for illegals. There's a video clip by Mark Levin, by the way. I want to mention this. I don't have it on the website, but just look up Mark Levin. He did an interview with a girl from another radio station that has discovered that she was actually on a conference call with a bunch of people from the White House. I'm not sure how she got in on the conference call. Maybe somebody dialed the wrong number or something. But they're sitting there, Ken. First of all, they said that the 5 million is more like 11 to 13 to 14 to 15 million people that are going to get amnesty. Not the 5 million everybody's been thinking, which just makes it, of course, worse. Secondly, there is a complete... I mean, it's just, you listen, I'm not kidding you. The girl's name is Sue something. I cannot remember the name. But do a search on YouTube. You've got to listen to it because the depth of what they're going to do to force this down the American people's throat is just unbelievable. But here's the thing. You know, the Texas and the 25, 26 states that are suing Obama, and they got these two federal judges to stop it, at least temporarily. Obama administration this week said that, listen to this now, all the states that are not in those 25, six states, so like basically 24 states, all those states, they're going to continue what they're doing. They can't continue in those 26 states. They continue what they're doing in the other 24 states. And he's already issued a warning to ICE and the Border Patrol and told them that if they do not follow his directive, there will be consequences to them. Now, essentially, the President of the United States is telling his Border Patrol and ICE to ignore the law and in some cases, not really ignore the federal judge because he's supposedly they're not going to do it in the other 26 states. But in the other 24 states, they're being told, forget what the law says, do what my policy says.
That's called a dictatorship, isn't it?
Yeah, king, dictatorship, tyranny. There's all kinds of words you can use for that.
Criminal,
yeah. I mean, what do you call it when your boss tells you, hell, ignore the law, just do what I tell you?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah, you're bringing it to a smaller example, but that's exactly what it is. And then you break the law, and who gets in trouble? Not the boss, you do.
Yeah, because he can deny it. Of course, in this case, he couldn't deny it because he's on record doing it. But nobody's going to do anything to him anyway, so it doesn't matter.
He's got a
pick. Well, let's move on. I mean, you know, this whole idea, just the way they're doing the taxes and the way they're doing the immigration thing, and just totally. Just doing stuff just out of the. I mean, they're literally pulling stuff out of their buttholes. I mean, they're just. It's just.
Can you imagine? I mean, I'm not in no way, shape, or form a fan of the IRS. But you imagine being an IRS person and being told, "Well, we're going to do this. We're going to do that now. We're going to do this now." And every day it must be different. Every day it must be changing. Every day is like, "Oh, we got to do what? We're enforcing what?"
Yeah,
it's a constant state of change.
Well, I've said before, imagine the poor guys at the Border Patrol, what they're being told to do day in, day out, for weeks, for months, for years, ignoring the law and ignoring what they used to do when they found somebody across the border. And now they can't even do their jobs that they've been doing for 5 or 10 or 15 years, whatever.
Yeah.
And this guy's lawless. I mean, he's completely lawless. And there's not enough people. There's a handful, but there's not enough people to stop this guy. He's going to do as damn well as he plays. Think about this. In the last week, seriously, Obama vetoed the Keystone Pipeline. He got the FCC to impose net neutrality, so he's taking over the internet, and he's taking away banned ammunition for AR-15s, which is supposedly the most popular rifle in America.
Yep.
So, and he tried to ban the AR-15 outright, and he couldn't do that because of the Second Amendment. So they're through a regulation banning the ammo. So if you ban the ammo, you basically almost ban the gun, essentially. At some point, when you run out of ammo, you can't get any more. What are you going to do?
Well, that's where you just hope that we get another president next time around that takes all that crap out. Just everything he has done is just you wipe it out. And that's one of the things you wipe out.
Well, here's the thing. I mentioned this in a Facebook post earlier this week. Somebody's talking about, oh, it's just an executive order. Someone else can wipe it out. And I said, yeah, you know what? I used to think that too, but I read actually a really in-depth article a few weeks back that says it's not that easy. And so I don't know the actual truth on that, but here's the thing. Unless somebody's writing all this stuff down and keeping track of this, you know what? You're going to miss some stuff because he does something all the time. It's a nonstop assault on the Constitution day after day after day after day.
It is. Did you listen to Levin on the CPAC speech?
Yes, I did. By the way, let's go ahead and talk about CPAC real quick. We got a few minutes before we have to go to break. Listen to several people. I listen to Ted Cruz, Sarah Palin, which, by the way, Sarah Palin did a much better job this time than she did in Iowa. Listen to Levin. Levin was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep. He just was. And I did not listen to Jeb Bush because I just can't do it. And apparently he got some pretty good response, but there's always a button that stuff. He was busting in people from K Street, which is all the lobbyists. They were busting into CPAC in order to give him a good response. There actually was people who got up and walked out when he started speaking, as a show of whatever. I think he finished dead last in the CPAC poll. By the way, he was at the very bottom. I don't know if he was dead last, but he was way down the list. Rand Paul won the CPAC poll for third year in a row.
Yeah, Bush got 8%. Rand Paul got 26.
Yeah, Governor Walker was second at whatever, 20-something percent. He was close. Yeah, he was pretty close to Rand Paul. but here's the thing. We need to make sure and be clear. Rand Paul had people there too. I mean, these guys, they do bus people in. There's no doubt about it. Even if they don't personally bus them in, there's groups that are affiliated with them that will get together and say, hey, let's all get a bus and let's go down there and support Rand Paul, or let's go down and support Jeb Bush. And that. So it's not necessarily, but the reason I point that out is these weren't grassroots people coming to support Jeb Bush. No, these were people, lobbyists from K Street, who were betting heavily on Bush and giving him donations. Now, is Rand Paul getting donations? Yeah, but I guarantee you he's not getting them from – the majority of them are not coming from K Street. No. Majority of them come from just people like us, you know, that believe in what he's doing. I would say the same thing for probably Scott Walker too. Probably the same thing for Ted Cruz, et cetera, et cetera. And so they all probably had their own groupies there at CPAC, especially when they were getting ready to speak. Now, I'm guessing this is just this. I can't prove this, but the K Street guys who came from Bush, I bet that's the only speech they heard. My point is, they showed up for Bush. They weren't there. They weren't going to sit there and listen to Rand Paul. They weren't going to sit there and listen to Mark Levin or anybody else. They didn't really care about that. They showed up, gave him support, gave him a warm welcome, and they're out of there. You know, so.
So, Mike, I don't know how CPAC runs, but I take it that you just walk in the door?
Yeah, I don't know if you have to have a ticket to get in or whatever, I actually saw an email where they were telling the people, the K Street people were telling everybody that was supporting Bush, get there early. I forget when his speech was, I don't know what time it was, but they said, be sure and get there early. Be sure that you're there no later than 7:30 a.m. So I don't know if the speech was at 8 or 8:30 or 9 or what it was. And basically, it's like, get in there, grab all the seats you can kind of thing, and let's have a good crowd for him. Which, you know, that's okay, I guess, in a way. It's just that when someone watches the video and watches Bush, I heard another person I know and trust said his answers were canned. They were rehearsed. You know, it's like basically it's exactly what they expected to hear from Bush. You know, so
I didn't hear the speech, but I listened to the sorry, there's some crazy parts of heart rot stuff. I listened to the Hannity, you know, the interview.
We asked questions afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. That's the part I actually watched and listened to. I didn't hear anything that made me go, oh, Jeb. No, because I'm so used to, the other Bushes, you know, I'm used to the parts of the Bushes I don't like. And I like the part about read my lips, no new taxes, and no child left behind, and $5 trillion of extra debt into our country. Those kind of things, you know, speak loudly to me that you're a rhino, a moderate, whatever the term you want to use. And I don't think he's any different.
Well, matter of fact, it was actually, I don't know if it was Norbert, what's the guy's name? Norquist? Grover Norquist, that's his name. I couldn't think of his name. He always has a thing where he always needs presidential candidates to pledge no more taxes. He does that like every year, essentially, every time we have I don't know if it was that or not, but I saw a headline, did not read the article, saw a headline that Bush refused to take the no tax pledge at CPAC. So I don't know if that was him that had put that forth or someone else had asked him, will you promise not to raise taxes? And of course he would not do it. Well, what does that mean? That means he figures he's going to have to at some point. Yeah. And since we already know his daddy lied like hell, you know, read my lips, no new taxes. I don't really care if he says he will or won't. I don't believe him anyway.
I don't believe him. So, I don't trust him.
Don't trust him, I don't believe him. So, that being said, let's see. We got just about a minute or so. The Keystone, let's do that real quick. This won't take long. Keystone Pipeline, vetoed by Obama. The Republicans, there's no way in the world they're going to get a veto-proof majority to bypass the veto. We knew this was going to happen, right? I mean, did you have any doubt that was going to happen?
No, but that's fine. Make him use the veto pen. I don't have a problem with that. I think you should put everything on his desk every day, pass something, and make him veto it. So you can see, just because he didn't have that kind of thing with Harry Reid. Harry Reid kept all those bills from even getting to his desk.
He never had to make the decision, yeah.
Right, and all you heard was from Juan Williams and that bunch that, oh, he hasn't vetoed. He's one of the less vetoing presidents we've ever had. Oh, yeah, there's a big reason for that, because Harry Reid wouldn't let it go to his desk. So I'm saying, let's make him veto it. Let's make him, the last 2 years, he spends, all he does is hit veto. So we have a clear line in the sand from this guy that we don't want another president like that.
Well, the good thing is if you do that and you have all these vetoes on Obamacare, Keystone, et cetera, all kind, there's tons of stuff they could pass that the president had to veto. If they do that, the good thing is if they do that, Ken, is they'll have everybody on record. They'll have him on record. And then when it comes to the general election, if let's say it's Hillary. Hillary, Obama vetoed the Keystone Pipeline. Did you agree with his veto, yes or no?
Yeah.
And did he, Obamacare, did you agree with his veto, yes or no?
Yeah.
And get them to admit or at least lie that they did or did not agree, you know, and get them on record too. That's the thing.
Well, at least if nothing else, you're telling the country you're doing stuff. Hey, we're passing things. We're not sitting on our thumbs over here. We're passing things, and this president is blocking us at every turn. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, that's all you can do. That's fine.
Yeah, like you said, we have to have stark differences. What's Reagan said? Bold colors, not pale pastels.
Yeah.
That's the way.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and go to break. We appreciate you listening to the Red State Town Hall. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Commerce.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
America's premier grassroots conservative talk radio network.
Red State Talk Radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Mr. Speaker, get me a doctor.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital. Red State Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster. Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Every day, millions of Americans grow more concerned about the future of our great nation. The truth is, over the last century, a small but powerful collectivist movement known as progressivism has debased our politics, our culture, and our currency. We're just a small step from falling into 1,000 years of darkness, as Ronald Reagan warned. Friend, this is Pat Boone with an important free offer on a hot new book called The Great Withdrawal by Craig Smith and Lowell Ponte. This new book explains how we, the people, can end this fatal detour into big government and get back on the path of faith and freedom charted by our founders. Call now for a free copy of the hot new book called The Great Withdrawal.
Call now for your free copy. 800-978-3904. 800-978-3904. 800-978-3904. That's 800-978-3904.
Red State Talk Radio, the Talk Monster.
Okay, welcome back. Let's see, FCC. The Obamanet is upon us now, Ken.
God.
I saw someone else refer to it as that, the Obamanet. You know something that I find curious? I actually had someone on Facebook, someone who's actually kind of a friend. He's a friend of a friend. I don't know him real well, but I know him.
Am I kind of a friend, Primo?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Well, you know what? I was thinking the other day, we've been friends for a long time, but at the same time, we don't really see each other much. I think the last time I saw you was like 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah,
probably. So that's, I'm not sure how friendly that is, but still. Man, anyway.
I like it.
It's what you like it, huh? Okay, all right. Fair enough. But we talk on the phone every week, if not just the show. So we talk about other things, believe it or not, other than politics. Okay, net neutrality. I actually had a guy who's an IT person, and he should know better. But he posted on Facebook and said he was excited because we're going to be able, because of this net neutrality, we should be able to get this new high-speed fiber optic network from Chattanooga will move up to our county here in Bradley County, from Hamilton County to Bradley County. Right now, we don't have it available. We have Charter cable, which is nice, but this is a gigabyte speed. The thing is blazingly fast. And so I get where he really wants to have all that speed. That's fine. I understand that. But at the same time, he thinks that I told the guy in a post, I said, well, that's all fine and good. I said, but that's not the only problem with net neutrality. And I started listing all the things of liberty, freedom, government interference, licensing, fees, taxes, regulations, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, just the list goes on and on. Because they want to treat it as a public utility. And we've always said this before. You want to screw something up, give it to the damn government. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just the way it is. And so anyway, he was okay. But there, he had another friend that was in Facebook. And he started trying to challenge me on that. And said I was nothing but a right-wing conspiracy theorist and all that kind of stuff. And one guy posted a guy with a tinfoil hat, and I was supposed to be the guy with the tinfoil hat, you know.
Oh, I see.
And I said, okay, you know, laugh all you want. I said, but you wait and see. I said, forget whether or not you think it's a good or bad thing. I said, the reality is there will be regulations guaranteed. The government doesn't do any damn thing about regulations. There will be fees. There will be taxes. You will have to pay more for your internet. And, you know, I mean, it's just.
Yeah, it kills me. You know what kills me is when they say, well, we're going to tax these companies. They need to pay more, whatever. Guess what? What do companies do, Primo?
Pass it on.
They pass it on. That's what it is. The government doesn't tax companies. They tax us. No matter how they do it, it still comes to us.
Yep.
They pass it on the fees. Their tax, they may have to pay a fee. That just goes right on our bill.
I know.
FCC fee. That just, people are stupid, Primo.
You know what? You know what ticked me off about this whole thing, FCC? Well, there are a lot of things, but two things that ticked me off. Number one, the FCC chairman, Tom Wheeler, refused to testify before Congress before they voted on this thing.
Yeah. That tell you something?
That tells you something. And number two, we still don't know what's in the regulation on the proposal because it's been kept secret. The American people have never seen it.
How about that?
And then they voted on it.
Yeah, there's 300-something pages in it, right?
332 pages, if I remember right. And it'll be worse than that because it'll be like, the FCC will adopt rules and regulations to affect blah, 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 blah. And then those will come out later, and those 332 pages will be thousands of pages once they come up with all the regulations to fit that. So, I swear, this is – it's Obamanet. It's Obamacare, Obamanet, Jesus. It's just – whatever. Anyway, the good thing is there are going to be all kinds of legal battles. I guarantee you. The Wall Street Journal had an article. I've got posted on redstatetalkradio.com. They're going to have all kinds of legal battles from all kinds of internet providers and stuff because they're not going to like this. That was one thing that the guy that was debating me on Facebook said, that I was just a tool for the for all these corporations, you know, that. And I'm thinking, you idiot. Here's what's funny. You know, used to, I always told you, Ken, well, crap, I forgot to start the clock again. Jesus. How long have we been going? I have no idea.
Don't.
Yeah, I'm going to go 10 minutes here. I don't know if that's right or not. Oh, Jesus.
That's the problem with doing a tape. Stopping the tape.
Yeah, if I do it the other way, it keeps rolling. Yeah. I guess whatever. You know what we need to do is have both clocks running and stop and do that, but I swear. We'll figure it out, folks. It's only taken 6 years, but we'll figure it out.
I should get a timer too, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, what was I going to say? Damn, see, I already forgot now. As soon as I saw that clock not running, that flipped me out. I was talking about the FCC. Here's the thing. Used to in the old days when you'd argue about politics, my rule was the first person who calls the other person a Nazi, the person who's been offended by being called a Nazi wins the argument because they've had to call you a Nazi because they couldn't think of anything else to go against you, right? This guy did not call me a Nazi. However, he did call me a condescending PRI. You can sort of figure out the end of that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I put down, my reply was, well, likewise, I'm sure. And I started to put, I win the argument because you had to resort to that. And I did not call him any names or anything. I just refuted everything he said with facts, which, of course, liberals hate facts.
You know,
it's the bane of their existence.
Yes.
It's facts.
The truth is hard to take, isn't it?
Yeah, truth and facts, they just can't handle it. And that's when they start pulling out the condescending PRIs, whatever.
And the race cards.
And the race card. And all, you're either a racist or a Nazi or whatever the deal is. And so, but I guess I was condescending because I was kept, you know, just giving him factor to factor to fact, just left and right. And he just could not handle it. He finally broke down. So it made my day. Anyway, okay. Congress, those gutless weasels. They gave up on the Homeland Security bill because of the bomb the amnesty thing. They rushed the bill to give themselves another week because they just could not pull the trigger on Friday. And so now we have another week of will they or won't they? And the reality is they're probably not going to do squat. They're not going to put off another week. I think this week they'll just capitulate completely. But I could be wrong. But the Senate's already made their mind up. They're not going to fight it. The House is more conservative than the Senate is.
Yes.
And Boehner, I think I saw a thing where 52 people in the House have stood up to Boehner that, you know, we cannot do this. We have to do what we said we were going to do when we got elected. Of course, Boehner has no problem with lying to the people who vote for him and then not doing what he promised to do once he got elected. So
I feel like that.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. It's going to be something. Let me see here. Hang on just one second while I do something really quick. Well, I can't tell. Anyway. It's just a mess. It's just a mess. Oh, by the way, Trey Gowdy has come up with a new bill. Now, this is not the official title of the bill, but it's a states' rights bill. But the quote is, it will undo Obama's destruction and liberal idiocy. It's a states' rights immigration enforcement bill is what it is. And if you read the article, it's listed. Article is on redstatetalkradio.com. If you read the article, he basically takes an approach to where it totally rips Obamacare by the root. Now, will it even get a hearing in the House? I don't know. Because it's coming from Trey Gowdy, who knows? He has a lot of American people support. He has conservative support. Whether or not him and Boehner get along that well, I'm not sure. But here's the thing. Even if it does get a vote in the House, Ken, even if it passes the House, there's no way in the world the Senate would ever approve it. We have too many cowards in the Senate. We have some good ones like Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and so forth. But there's way too many cowards. You got too many people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and that bunch I don't think anything like that could ever get repealed. Also, human events, there's an article on redstatetalkradio.com, has another guy who has posted an article on how he would repeal Obamacare. And he says he basically can do it tooth and nail. So that's at least two proposals out there to get this thing done. And what both of them are saying is that you could do it and hopefully bypass, somehow get away with presidential veto, because one plan is, of course, to use reconciliation. If you use reconciliation, Obama can't touch it.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. And like we said before, Ken, you and I both said they used reconciliation to get it passed because they couldn't even get their own votes there weren't even enough Democrat votes to get it passed in the first place, and they had to use reconciliation to get it passed on Christmas Eve that year.
Well, it's good for the goose.
Yeah, good for the goose, good for the gander. I'd say go for that. I mean, Trey Gowdy's thing is really good, but they should. Well, far as I'm concerned, they should try both. I mean, whatever it takes. I don't care how they do it. Whatever it takes, that's what they should do. And they should do, if they have to, why not use reconciliation on the immigration thing? Pull the funding on the immigration stuff and Homeland Security stuff, and if you have to use reconciliation to get around the presidential veto, do it. Right? I mean.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. You know, these Democrats, when they've done all this stuff in the last 6-7 years, apparently they don't think that I think they think that the Republicans would never do what they did. They would never step over the bound and do what the Republicans did. And so far they've been right. Republicans have been chicken. But if you ever get a speaker in the House who has some guts and they're willing to do whatever it is the Democrats have done to them, maybe everybody will calm down and quit doing this crap because they realize, oh, if we open that Pandora's box, it could come back to bite us later.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. You know Rudy Giuliani. Let's talk about this real quick. Rudy Giuliani last week got in a lot of trouble about his comments about Obama not loving America and so forth. And he got in trouble when he kind of doubled down on it and said that he talked about Obama's past and his ties to communists. And people thought that was awful that he would bring that up. And of course, it was absolutely true. We talked about this last week. It was absolutely true that he did have ties to known communists. And terrorists, for that matter. Well, everybody criticized, at least a lot of people did, criticized Giuliani for that. If you think about it, there's an article on redstatetownhall.com, our show's website, that Reagan did pretty much like what Rudy did back in his day, when he tied Democrats to communists. He did it over and over again. And he was right there, too. Because when he was president of the Screen Actors Guild, he had to deal with communists in Hollywood. And it was because of that that actually forced him to leave the Democratic Party and become a Republican. It was because of his battles with communists in Hollywood. Because before that, you know, Reagan was a Democrat in this earlier part of his life. So, and Reagan was absolutely right to tie Democrat principles and Democrat philosophy and the Democrat platform to communist platform. Because I don't know if you know it or not, but almost every year, if you look at the Socialist Party platform and perhaps even the Communist Party platform, if you compare their platform to the Democrat platform, it is amazingly similar.
Yeah. How about that?
Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have any doubt this guy's a socialist. Obama is a socialist, if not a communist. He just won't come out and say either one of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you know what? At this point, he really could.
Yeah, he might.
You know, up until the fall election, he had to kind of keep a lid on it. But now, at this point, and if you look at his, you know, don't forget what a man says. Look at his actions. If you pay any attention to what he's doing and what he has been doing, there's no doubt. Excuse me.
No, there's no doubt. There is no doubt for what he's doing. I mean, it started back when he was talking to Joe the Plumber.
That should have been our first tip off, wasn't it? And I mean, you know.
Then he says stuff like, "You didn't build that." You know, that crap. That doesn't say this guy's a socialist. I don't know what does.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's at the very least a socialist. I just wish he'd admit it like Bernie Sanders does. But I really think he's... like I've always said, when it comes to economic policies, he's not a socialist, he's a fascist. I mean, literally, his economic policies are classic fascism. I mean, there's no doubt about that as far as I'm concerned.
I'll go any further. I think in his mind, it's perfectly okay to lie to the American people for their own good.
Well, you know what? What does that sound like? There's a religion of peace that's running around out there that has the same belief system.
Well, I'm you know, we've talked about this before. I think he is. I mean, we know he's a Muslim sympathizer. There's no doubt about it.
At the very least.
At the very least. Now, is he a practicing Muslim? I don't see that. I don't see it with Michelle. You know, she doesn't wear the burqas and all those kind of things. Really, those.
Yeah.
But I honestly think and believe that this guy thinks it's fine. It's okay to lie if it's for the greater good in his mind.
You know what would, you know what would be worth $1 million if you could get it? If somebody had a photo of him in the White House facing east and bowing to Mecca.
Yeah.
That would be worth $1 million. Because I think it would verify a lot of people's suspicions. But maybe not. Who knows? I have no idea if we're done yet or not. So
let me throw something in real quick.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Because my congressman, who's been elected several times, he's a black man. He made a statement this week. It said, "We need food stamps because so many fathers are in jail." And I'm thinking he means black fathers, but he said, now this is a quote. Now, first of all, the situation regarding employment and jobs, poverty, all of that has been structured into our economic social policy over the last quarter century. Now he's our policy of sending so many of our young eligible fathers to prison, millions. Our prison population went from 300,000 in 1975 to over 2 million today. He's saying our policy, the United States policy, is the reason these fathers, that we have mothers raising children on their own, and that's why food stamps are necessary.
And it has nothing to do with the crimes that these people committed, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He doesn't say anything about choice. Nothing about choice. It's somebody's freedom of choice to do whatever crime they want to do. No, he's saying our policy. Our policy. This is God almighty. This guy, it represents me.
Well, obviously you're a racist because, you know, if a black commits a crime, he should automatically give him a free pass, I don't know, the first 3, 4, 5 times so that he can stay at home and remain with his children, right?
God, he's saying these are providers. These people in prison are providers who are not there. This is why we have so many single female head of households.
Well, let me tell you something. If they were providers, they would marry the women. That'd be the first step. And the second step would be that maybe they would get a freaking job and quit stealing, robbing, selling drugs, whatever the hell they're doing to get in prison. You don't, let's face it, you basically don't get in prison for following the law. For the most part. Now, there are times when, you know, but, you know, God almighty.
This is, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. Well, it's our policies, our racist policies. Let's be frank about that, Ken. Let's just admit it. Let's admit that's what's happening. And with that note, it's that very sad note. I think we're done. If we're not, I'll fake it. I'll figure it out in post-production. That's it. We're out of here. You want to take us out, Ken?
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Good night.